This is the story of Jim Burwell. Jim wrote the second edition big book story, The Vicious Cycle. He was one of the first 10 AAs in the eastern United States. Jim was a salesman and a former atheist. He and Hank Parkhurst wanted less God stuff in the big book. Jim was directly involved in the phase God as we understood him being included in the big book. He had tried to get bookstores to carry the AA big book. Jim helped start an AA group in Philadelphia. He donated his first printing of the first edition big book to the AA archives. The story, The Vicious Cycle, by Jim Burwell, Washington, D.C. This story appears on page 238 in the second and third editions of the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. How it finally broke a Southerner's obstinacy and destined this salesman to start AA at Philadelphia. Jim was 12-stepped into the fellowship on January the 8th, 1938, but he had a slip in June of that year. His last drink was June 16th, 1938. He was described as having red hair and being rather slim, at least in his last years. He spent his early life in Baltimore, where his father was a physician and a grain merchant. They lived in a very prosperous circumstances, and while both parents drank, sometimes too much, they were not alcoholics. Home life was reasonably harmonious. There were four children, and both of his brothers later became alcoholics. One of his brothers died from alcoholism. His sister never took a drink in her life. He attended public schools until 13, then went to an Episcopal school for boys in Virginia, where he stayed 4 years. But there he developed a real aversion to all churches and established religions. At school, they had Bible readings before each meal and church services 4 times on Sunday. At 17, he entered the university to please his father, who wanted him to study medicine as he had. There he took his first drink, and he always remembered it. He blacked out the first time he drank. In the spring of 1917, because he feared he would be kicked out of school, he joined the Army. Due to his OTC training, he entered with rank of sergeant, only later to come out a private. During his military service, he became a periodic alcoholic. On November the 5th, 1918, the troops heard a false report that the armistice would be signed the next day, so Jim had a couple of cognacs to celebrate, then hopped a truck and went AWOL. His next thing he knew, he was in Bar-le-Duc, many miles from base. It was November the 11th, the bells were ringing, and whistles were blowing for the real armistice. Back in the States, he migrated from job to job, unable to hold any for very long. The boss who fired him from one job was Hank Parkhurst, the unbeliever in the first edition. In the 8 years before he stopped drinking, he had over 40 jobs. Finally, January the 8th, 1938, his boyhood friend Fitz Mayo, our Southern friend, sent one of his early sponsees, Jackie Williams, to try and help him. When Jackie got drunk, Jim called New York and was told that the two of them should come to New York. Hank, who had fired him 11 years before, offered Jim a job working with him and Bill Wilson at Honor Dealers. Hank fired him again, at least briefly, when he had a slip in June of that year. Jim met his wife Rosa on a 12-step call, the only time he ever 12-stepped a woman. They were married a year later and reportedly both did much service work in AA and were elected to various offices. On February the 13th, 1940, with about 2 years of sobriety, Jim moved to the Philadelphia area and started a group there. He also helped start AA in Baltimore. He wrote a history of AA in Philadelphia and also wrote a history called The Evolution of Alcoholics Anonymous. It contains some factual errors and his memory differed in spots from some of the other early AA members and of Bill Wilson, but it is the first historical piece written about AA. Jim is usually given credit for the third tradition, that the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. He also is credited with the use of God as we understood him, in the steps. Jim, an agnostic, was militantly opposed to too much talk of God in the Big Book, but he later said that his agnostic stance had mellowed over the years. When he updated his story for the May 1968 edition of the AA Grapevine, he told how in early days in New York, he started fighting all things Bill and the others stood for, especially religion, the God bit. But he did want to stay sober and did love the understanding fellowship. Soon he was number 4 in seniority in the New York group. He said he learned later that the New York group had a prayer meeting on what to do with him. The consensus seemed to have been that they hoped he would either leave town or get drunk. He added that his spiritual growth over the past 30 years had been very gradual and steady. Later, he moved to San Diego, California, where he lived until his death. After breaking his hip in a freak accident from which he never fully recovered, Jim was often in a wheelchair. Following a long illness, he was admitted to the Veterans Administration Medical Center in La Jolla, California, where he started an AA meeting which still meets on Thursday nights. Jim died in a VA hospital on September the 8th, 1974. He and Fitz Mayo are buried just a few yards apart on the grounds of Christ Episcopal Church at Owensville, Maryland. The following AA Grapevine article was originally published in the May 1968 issue and reprinted in the November 1999 AA Grapevine under the category Big Book Authors, Jim Burwell. AA Grapevine, November 1999, sober for 30 years. One of the earliest members of the first New York AA group, he was also its self-proclaimed atheist. As noted in my story, The Vicious Cycle, in the Big Book, I came into the fellowship in New York in January 1938. At that time, AA was just leaving the Oxford group. There was one closed discussion meeting a week at Bill's home in Brooklyn, attendance 6 or 8 men, with only 3 members who had been sober more than 1 year, Bill, Hank, and Fritz. This is about all that had been accomplished in the 4 years with the New York Oxford group. During those early meetings at Bill's, they were flying blind, with no creed or procedure to guide them, though they did use quite a few of the Oxford sayings and the Oxford absolutes. Since both Bill and Dr. Bob had almost overnight experiences, it was taken for granted that all who followed would have the same sort of experience. So the early meetings were quite religious in both New York and Akron. There was always a Bible on hand, and the concept of God was all biblical. Into this fairly peaceful picture came I, their first self-proclaimed atheist, completely against all religions and conventions. I was the captain of my own ship. The only trouble was my ship was completely disabled and rudderless, so naturally I started fighting nearly all things Bill and the others stood for, especially religion, the God bit. But I did want to stay sober, and I did love the understanding fellowship, so I became quite a problem to that early group with my constant haranguing against all spiritual angles. All of a sudden, the group became really worried. Here I had stayed sober 5 whole months while fighting everything the others stood for. I was now number 4 in seniority. I found out later they had a prayer meeting on what to do with Jim. The consensus seemed to have been that they hoped I would either leave town or get drunk. That prayer must have been right on target, for I was suddenly taken drunk on a sales trip. This became the shock and the bottom I needed. At this time, I was selling auto polish to jobbers for a company that Bill and Hank were sponsoring. and I was doing pretty well too. But despite this, I was tired and completely isolated there in Boston. My fellow alcoholics really put the pressure on as I sobered up after 4 days of no relief, and for the first time, I admitted I couldn't stay sober alone. My closed mind opened a bit. Those folks back in New York, the folks who believed, had stayed sober, and I hadn't. Since this episode, I don't think I've ever argued with anyone else's beliefs. Who am I to say? I finally crawled back to New York and was soon back into the fold. About this time, Bill and Hank were just beginning to write the AA Big Book. I do feel sure my experience was not in vain, for God was broadened to cover all types and creeds, God as we understood him. I feel my spiritual growth over these past 30 years has been very gradual and steady. I have no desire to graduate from AA. I try to keep my memories green by staying active in AA a couple of meetings weekly. For the new agnostic atheist just coming in, I will try to give very briefly my milestones in recovery. 1. The first power I found greater than myself was John Barleycorn. 2. The AA Fellowship became my higher power for the first 2 years. 3. Gradually, I came to believe that God and good were synonymous and were found in all of us. 4. And I found that by meditating and trying to tune in on my better self for guidance and answers, I became more comfortable and steady. Signed, J.B., San Diego, California.